John Patrick Maloney is Congressman from New York's 18th District. Welcome back, Sean. Good to have you here.
Good to be with you.
Okay. So let me talk to you a little bit about new criminal justice reforms that have gone into effect in New York on January 1st, eliminating cash bail for most nonviolent felonies. Now, I realize you're a congressman, you're a part of the federal government, but a number of state lawmakers have already called for changes to these reforms after several people charged with what some consider to be violent crimes have been released. So what do you think?
Look, obviously, you're never going to want to discharge people who are dangerous back into the community, and there needs to be, you know, there needs to be safeguards about discharging dangerous people who are a threat to themselves or others. That's not the thrust of the reform. The thrust of the reform recognizes that we have a huge number of people who are incarcerated because of their financial ability to make bail,
right.
and that is just a bad system. You can't just keep people held up indefinitely because they're too poor to make bail, when in fact their offenses may not justify incarceration. It costs us a bunch of money. It doesn't do any good for the community. It's just a bad system, and that's the thrust of these reforms. And I would hate to see them. And they're very important, and I support them. But I would hate to see them caricatured by folks who don't want any reform at all. We've got way too many people incarcerated in this country. We have given up on the idea of rehabilitation when, in fact, we know there are things that work, like education and other programs that we need to recommit to. I've seen local programs like the Barred Prison Initiative have remarkable success at reducing recidivism rates. My spouse works in this area and is very committed to it. I know a number of formerly incarcerated people who have benefited and who have been returned to society as productive, responsible people because of it. The whole way we do criminal justice in this country needs to be reexamined. So I would just ask everyone to approach this with some thoughtfulness, because it's easy to demagogue. And I take seriously genuine concerns for public safety. That, of course, is a false choice, that you've got to choose between putting people in danger from violent criminals, or you have to just accept a system that keeps a bunch of nonviolent people who are not dangerous incarcerated because they're poor.
So is there a way of sort of making a compromise here, giving, you know, one of the things that have been suggested is giving judges more ability to look at the concept of dangerousness, but at the same time laying out the idea that you really feel that bail has been abused and that the poor suffer and that the rich can buy their way out?
Look, I think it's unmistakably clear that the system has gotten way out of whack by keeping locked up a bunch of people because they can't make bail, and before any wrongdoing has been adjudicated at trial. Let's remember, you're talking about people who are often held indefinitely awaiting trial because they can't make bail. So that's the problem. I'm going to leave to my state colleagues who have the ball on this, you know, the ins and outs of it. As you know, we're not involved in it at the federal level. I got my plate full with the crisis in Iran and the impeachment proceedings and a bunch of other matters that I'm focused on. But I support the thrust of the reform. I think it's very important. It's not all we need to do in the area of criminal justice reform, but it's an important step.
Okay. That's a good point. Let's go then to the fact that you voted in favor of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, the deal to replace NAFTA. Why'd you do it, and do you think this will be an improvement?
Well, I did it because a lot of us who were fighting to clean up these bad trade deals got a tremendous amount of what we were seeking. And you don't need to take my word for it.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing the AFL-CIO and all the major labor unions support the agreement. You're seeing some of the most ardent opponents of what were really unfortunate trade deals in the past come on board for this one. And it's really to the credit of the House Democrats, who really pushed these issues in terms of the enforceability of the labor and environmental protections, in terms of the cost of prescription drugs, in terms of the things that were really going to benefit just big corporations and not the workers and the ordinary moms and dads and families that we're sent here to represent. And that's the difference. The difference is that this deal has an opportunity to live up to the promise that was made with the previous ones, where it was all talk and no action. And let's not forget how important trade is with Mexico and Canada to the United States, but also to our region. So all of us support robust, free, and fair trade. It's important to our farmers. It's important to our local communities. But it is got to be on terms that actually help ordinary folks, because it's a big part of what's been hurting our country over the last 20, 30 years.
Talk to me a little bit, if we can. We have some time left, about the salt legislation, the salt cap that was part of the 2017 federal tax overhaul. What's the outlook for that legislation, for overturning it in the Republican-controlled Senate?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. I'm not sure anybody has heard the news on this, but the House passed legislation that would give folks back their state and local tax deductions. That's what people mean when they say SALT, S-A-L-T, state and local taxes. So all of you out there who have been watching your property tax deductions or your state and local tax deductions get eaten up by that Republican tax boondoggle they passed a couple years ago should know that we passed a restoration of those deductions in the House. It is sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk with about 50 other important bipartisan major pieces of legislation, about 200 or 300 total bills, by the way, but about 50 major pieces of legislation. We have to reverse that. That Republican tax bill blew a hole in the debt and the deficit to the tune of a couple trillion dollars over the next 10 years. It produced almost nothing in terms of additional economic growth. And it is killing states like New York. I mean, and ask people in the Hudson Valley, or ask the realtors in the Hudson Valley, what's happening with property values, what's happening with the ability of folks to pay their taxes. You know, it's hurting local governments, who then have the follow-on consequence of not being able to raise taxes because the impact of the existing ones is now greater. That hurts local services. It's just a bad deal for New York. And by the way, they intended it to be a bad deal for New York. This thing was targeted at blue states like New York. Everybody knows it. Even the Republicans from New York, most of them voted against it. So let's be clear on that. They intended to hurt New York. It is hurting New York. We need to get your state and local property tax and state and local taxes back, the deduction back, the way we had it before.
Well, but this president isn't about to sign such a bill, is he?
You know, I wouldn't rule it out. I think we need to put it on his desk and hold his feet to the fire. But I'm hoping we have a different president about a year from now, and we can get these deductions back. Let's also remember they expire by their own terms, I believe, in 2027. So these deductions are coming back because the tax bill that took them away only did so, I believe through 2027. So we're going to get these deductions back eventually, but we need it done yesterday, and we should be working on that. I am proud that the House passed that. That's good. The Senate needs to act.
I got 1 minute for you on the eventual question that's on everybody's mind. Do you think Donald Trump is going to win the election?
I wouldn't rule it out, and I think that those of us who think his presidency has been bad for America shouldn't be kidding ourselves about that. You know, I know in a district like mine, he's very competitive, but we got some great candidates running against him, and I think there's a number of those candidates that can win this election. I think it's important that we ask ourselves why it matters. This isn't just some red team, blue team contest for me. This is about things like we just talked about, whether you got a president who's looking out for New York or screwing New York. New York got screwed on that tax bill. New York is getting screwed on the gateway funding that would open up a one-seat ride from Orange County down to the city and open up a whole new generation of economic activity and jobs for New York. We still don't have an infrastructure bill. That's bad for New York. I do not believe we need a president who is engaged in the kind of reckless and irresponsible conduct that we've seen with his actions in Ukraine and playing footsie with the Russians and all of the divisive things he's done in the area of race and in the area of religion, where he is pitting one group of Americans against another. In other words, I think there's a better way forward where we can grow this economy, let people participate in that growth, increase their take-home pay, look forward to retirement, be able to look at their kids' school and say that's working well, know that if they get sick, they can see a doctor and not be bankrupt by it. We can work on the problems that matter to families, the families I meet every day, like the one I grew up in, and we do not need Donald Trump for that. I think he's hurting us, not helping us. That's why I'm looking for new leadership. And yes, I think there is a way to deliver that, but we better work our hearts out, because I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be one of the toughest and closest elections maybe we've ever lived through.
Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. Sean, I so appreciate your being here with us and telling us what you're thinking and what you're working on. Really terrific. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alan.